If you read the chapter 4, and I'm going to bring up a share screen, if I can get this to work in a minute. If you read chapter 4, Crucified Unto Me, which is what you should have been reading, I want to look in a couple of scriptures before we go into this, so we're not long tonight. Because when you read Watchman Nee's books, you find out he is very wordy and very redundant. In other words, he says the same thing in so many different ways. And he does that to make sure that you get a good understanding of what he's talking about. And since he knows that when people read, they tend not to sometimes get the, you know, when you're reading something on paper, it's like anything you write or anything that you write down. My mother told me a long time ago, she said, don't ever write anything down that you don't want the world to see.
See, that's right.
People on Facebook and different places haven't learned that yet, obviously. Don't ever send a text that you don't want everybody in the world to see. There's no such thing as a private written anything. Mm-hmm. You're trusting that whoever you really write it to is going to keep it to themselves. Mm-hmm. Even among people that I trust and I'm faithful to, just to avoid people misunderstanding what I'm saying, if it's something that I think that the wording won't be crystal clear, I'll ask you to call me and we'll talk about it, or I'll go see you. And then, if I think that you're the sort of person that when you call me, while you're talking to me, your mind will be all over the place and you'll be doing this and doing that, tuning in and tuning out, if it's really, really important, I won't even talk to you about it on the phone. I'll go to where you are.
Yes.
Some things merit a face-to-face. There are some people, and I say that too, some people don't talk to people when they need to face-to-face. You know why? Because they're afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
And there's no such thing as a good leader who's afraid to sit down with the people that he's responsible for and not talk to them face to face. There's some things to say at the pulpit, but when you have a problem with someone, it's like Elder Thompson preached last year. When there's somebody that you need to help correct or fix or do whatever, you need to be man enough or woman enough to sit down with that person without your crowd full of people, because you know you like to speak in a crowd because you got everybody got your back. You need to be man enough or woman enough, since you're in charge. And since you have the authority, which you don't mind telling people about, then you need to have enough backbone to sit down with the people who work for you or under you and say to them what's on your mind concerning them.
Yeah.
And not worry about saying it in a crowd full of people so you can have all these people on your side. That's wimpy and it's cowardly.
Right.
So when you write things down, when you write something to me, you're trusting that I'm going to understand it in the way that you wrote it. Now, that works most of the time if you know the people well, but in things that are where you really, really have to be precise, the best thing you can do is not text it to them or write it to them. It is best to speak to them directly. So Watchman Nee, when he writes his books, he tends to be overly wordy because he wants to make sure that by the time you finish reading what you read, you understood exactly what he meant.
Yeah.
I want to start today in with a scripture that comes out of chapter 4. If you've read it already, we can move right on. And it's in 1 Peter 3 and 3 and 20. And I'm sorry, it is not 1 Peter 3 and 20. It's 1 Peter 1 and 4. 2 Peter 2 and 4. 2 Peter 2 and 4. Got it right now. 2 Peter 2 and 4. Let me look at it to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. 2 Peter 2 and 4. That ain't what I want. Let me look again. That's what I wrote down. That ain't it. 2 Peter 1 and 4. How about that? There you go. All right. If you've read chapter 4 of Watchman Nee, and you're in chapter 4 and you've read Crucified to Me, he makes a statement that we need to see, and I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures and we'll look at them And then we'll talk about his statement, about what he's writing. One of them is in John when Jesus says that you are not of the world. I have not taken you out of the world. You're not of the world, but I haven't taken you out of the world. That's one of them. It makes the reference to, see who can follow me. Let's see who's up tonight. How many Bible scholars that I got? It makes this reference to everyone who knows a lot about the Word of God, to us being new creatures in Christ.
Yes.
And you have to have the mindset that when the Lord saved you, He made you someone new. I also want you to look at Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and verse 20, which says that our conversation or our citizenship or our lifestyle, our manner is in heaven. You also need to look in Hebrews 11 chapter where it says that they came to the point where they knew they were not, they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. This is what they realized. Jesus told them over and over again, he says, the world hates you because it hated me, and I'm not of the world, and you are not either. In other words, it comes back to what Watchman Nee is saying completely about the world not being just the bars and sins, but the world being the system of the world. This is the social system of the world. He makes the point that until you understand that the whole world is under judgment, because God is going to come and reshape the earth. He's going to come and he's going to destroy all this of the earth. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, in other words. And we read in Hebrews study during Christian education where he says in Hebrews the 13th chapter, I think he says it, once more I shake the heavens and I shake the earth. And he makes the point that he's going to break away or break loose or fix or tear down or burn up everything that doesn't need to be there. And he makes the point that and when you read in Hebrews, and I'll read it real quick, Hebrews chapter 11 and, or is it 12? Hebrews 12 and verse 27. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I want to read the verse before, 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the remaining, removing. I'm in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 26 and 27, if I didn't say that. A removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And this, he says all this to say simply, I am going to, and we were talking about this Sunday, and sometimes it's kind of hard for me to carry over on Tuesday because we do all, you know, when you study the Word of God, it all congrues.
Yeah.
It comes together. And so we were talking about a Sunday, and the shape the earth is in now and the world system is in now, it's very complex, as is our individual lives. And sometimes you don't need God to just change a thing or this or that. You need him to change a lot of things. So he says in this once more, he says, again, I'm going to shake the earth again. I've done it before. When did he do it before? Did it with Noah. Did it when he brought them out of Egypt. All those different things that weren't supposed to happen. And he makes this point that I'm not going to tear up anything that's not broken.
Right. Yes.
You know, I'm not going to fix what's not there. But the world system itself, when Adam fell in the garden, the system fell under judgment of God, under the judgment of God. So that even though the system, the world system, can keep producing, reproducing itself, we talked about this, it cannot produce life. Every time you want to have a new life, you must go back to God. You can't produce saved children. Your children, no matter how saved you are, have to go to God. And so forth and so on. So he makes this point he's making with this book, which is big to me, and it helps you grow in Christianity, because growing in Christ is not simply just staying away from the bar and staying away from the club. It is the world system at all. I'm looking at some people now. They're being drawn and pulled away by the world.
Yes.
And so I'm reading in Peter. I gave you a few scriptures in Proverbs. We go along, I'll give you a few more, and you'll start seeing this. You got to make up in your mind when the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Or when,
yes.
you, or when you come to God, you know you have a new life. You're born again.
Yes.
You start over. And then your citizenship or your home is no longer earth, because you're born of what comes from heaven. What comes
yes.
from heaven, the life that comes from heaven. Remember
yes.
we studied last week, only what comes from God does God receive
yes.
back.
Yes.
Every good and perfect
gift,
as James
comes,
says,
yes,
comes down from
yes.
heaven, from the Father above.
Yes.
So then when we look at the world system, we always want to look directly at sin. I think the very first week we pointed out in this that the devil never, he knows that anybody who's really in God has the Holy Ghost, you're not going to draw them out. Most of them, you're not going to draw them out simply by giving them sin.
Yeah.
And even, I found out by experience, even among people who are in God, men of God, women of God, who fall into diverse different sins and things, they don't just plunge into it. The world pulls them
yeah.
and gets them weakened and in a position where they can be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
They don't just,
yes.
they don't just, you know, one day you're a preacher, next day you're gone. No.
Yes.
There's things in the world that you don't recognize, and
yes.
I'm not referring to just demons. I'm talking about the world system itself. It can be money.
Yes.
It can be position. It can be, so, well, how all these things come together? Well, you know, let's just take it for example. You get a great job, you start making money, and it doesn't have to be money that causes you to fall. It can be that now all of a sudden you can afford to go to places where you couldn't go before.
Yes.
Are you talking about bars? No, I'm talking about on cruises.
Cruises, yes.
And then when you come back and afford a car that you didn't have before, and a house you didn't have before, and your job's lifting you up, and now you have a title. And what comes along with that? Because the devil doesn't give it. Then the people start saying how tremendous you are.
Yeah.
And how great you are. Remember, the pride of life, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the big one.
Yes.
We think the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes are big ones. They're not.
Yes.
You can get away from those. It's that pride
of life.
Yes.
Yes.
That overwhelms you.
Mm-hmm.
And the people start calling your name. And they mean well.
Yeah.
And you become a hero. You can't let yourself ever become a hero.
Yeah.
It has to always be God.
God, yes.
You can't even at night, at home, by yourself, in your room, with nobody looking, you can't go in there and dance around singing, "How Great I Am." You cannot. Whenever the thought comes of how great your success is, the world is ringing your doorbell. That's not Avon. That's the world calling.
Yeah.
Anytime the thought comes to you of how great your success is, I know, I've been there. You know, not as much as some people, but, you know, it doesn't take much success for you to be overthrown.
Yeah,
just the right promotion, and you start thinking yourself somebody different, and you've moved into another category, and you're above everybody else, and all of a sudden you've lost something very important to God, no respect of persons. In other words, what is fair and what is equal, judgment and justice.
Yeah.
And the world has corrupted that in you.
Yeah.
When you sit and you see people who are not fair to others, and it doesn't bother you because it's not you.
Yeah.
Then the world is showing up in you because you don't mind going along with them and what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's the world.
Yeah.
It isn't as in Romans, the first chapter, another you might want to write down sometime, that he talks about all these sins. He says that it's not only a sin for the people who do these things. He says, but those who take pleasure in them, that do them.
Yeah, yeah.
And the world is calling on them. So if you look at chapter 4, he talks about distinctiveness and the separation of us and God. And the separation from the world. And the overwhelming point that you need to get out of it is because we're not of the world. We're in the world, but when the Lord saved us, he took us out of the world. Not off planet Earth.
Right. Yes.
but out of the world system.
Yes.
So that we're no longer subject to it. And I want to read, I'm hoping I can find the bookmark that I have in here tonight to talk about that specifically, because that's where I want to go. I want to read 2 Peter verses 1 through 4, verse number 4, 2 Peter 1 and 4. I have to read 3 first, I guess. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And this is going to run throughout all we're talking about. We're talking about the world, because what we have from God, what comes from heaven, is life and godliness. Yes, it doesn't come from the world. We don't sing our way into it. We don't sing our way into holiness. We sing because we are holy. We don't sing our way into righteousness. We sing because we're righteous.
Yes.
We don't dance our way into righteousness. We dance because we're righteous. So he says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, or through Jesus Christ, through all that Christ has done, and by knowing Christ. Now, big infomercial. Let me step up on my soapbox. That's the reason why people have to preach Christ. Therein is how we are delivered from the world. It is not the rebuking. It is not your church. It is not this. It is not that. It is through Christ. Therein are we delivered from the world. Therein are we set free through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of him that called us. In other words, he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been translated from the... We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We have been moved from one kingdom to another, from one realm to another. And you have to see yourself in that light. Otherwise, you will, your whole saved Christian life, be dancing around trying to avoid sin. And what you think is sin. While you will live somewhat of a not great life because you're drawn by the world. And the world pulls and tugs. So he says in here, whereby he's called us to glory and virtue, and because of that, or through that, by him, is given to us exceeding great and precious promises. It's given to us, all of us who have been called out. I was looking at it, and I was reading in chapter 4, if you're reading in chapter 5, Watchman Nee makes the point of talking about the word ecclesia, and ecclesia means called out. By God, we have been called out. We're the ones out. Et means out of, and ecclesia means called. We have been called out of the world. We have been called out of the world. Brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been called out. If you never come to understand that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, then the world will, in some form or another, overwhelm you and overtake you. And while you are avoiding all the bars and all the clubs and all the thises and the thats and whatever, you will yourself be just as worldly as everybody else.
Yes.
And things will change.
Yes.
Yes, you will. Ellen Smith is making a big C for carnal. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great, given unto us by God. Every good gift is in James. You have to look it up. Every good gift and every
perfect
gift comes down from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Whereby is given to us exceedingly great and precious promises.
Yes.
Exceedingly great and precious promises. He promised he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He promised me eternal life. These things are precious. In other words, precious meaning they are beyond value.
Yes.
There is something you absolutely must have.
Yes.
That by these, because of these great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. No two natures. I had a nature of the children of wrath that he talks about. In Ephesians, we were by nature children of wrath, children of disobedience. He changed my nature so that it is natural, the natural person. And I lose sometimes if you look at me in settings and I'm on the pulpit and you're saying, Bishop Smith, like I ain't bothering him. It's because what you're not, you aren't saying to the people, your being in Christ and worshiping Him is not you being a super saint. Really, to worship God is supposed to be your nature.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And to pray and to honor God is supposed to be your
nature.
That is the nature of someone who's in God. Yeah. And then if that is not your nature and you're saved, then you're abnormal.
Yeah.
You're not normal. Watchman, he has another book, The Normal Christian Life. When you see Jesus Christ and the life that he lived while he was on earth, you see the life of what's normal in God. And he lets us know in Philippians, the third chapter, he says, and when we see him, we're changed into the same image by the Spirit of the Lord. What do you think he's referring to? We all get gifts? No, he's talking about that too, but he's talking about us being changed in our personality, in the way that we are and what we are. We're changing our mindset towards the world. This is why I like to harp on politics, because it's such a big issue today. The world system of politics today is just wreaking havoc.
Yeah.
Corrupt.
Because it is a world system.
System, yes.
Even if you vote, you need to know, and you should vote, but even if you do, you need to know that this is not a godly system.
Yeah.
Pray for so-and-so and pray for so-and-so and pray for so-and-so. Yes, you need to pray for them. You need to pray that they'll be saved.
Yes.
And God will take care of the rest. That's the big issue. The big issue is not that they'll... No, it's not that the Lord will keep them in health so they can vote on this bill. God doesn't care about this bill.
Yeah, that's right.
God can change that anytime he wants. He allows it to be like it is in the earth. And one of the reasons why he allows it is because he wants to make sure those of us who are in God, you know, we will do it. And we are so weak-willed sometimes. We need to see the distinction between what is holy and unholy.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And we need to grow to the point that we know what is in God and what is not.
Not of God. Yeah.
And we need to have the judgment and justice. I was reading it today because he's given me some words on a sermon that I'm going to preach someplace at some point in time. One of the things he said about Abraham that he loved about Abraham, he said he knew that Abraham would teach his children judgment and justice.
Yes.
In other words, he said that he knew that Abraham would teach them God's fairness and would teach them God's judgment on the earth.
Yes.
He knew that he would do that. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will reprove the world of judgment.
Yes.
This is something he does. So he says that that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, of the godly nature. Not just imitate or do stuff that you think is God. We were churching. You dance all night long, dance for hours, you all night long, and you were churching. I was just churching. I was just having a good time, and they were just loving. And I was your nature changed?
All right. Yeah.
Is it natural for you to forgive? It doesn't take work.
It takes work. Yeah.
It's supposed to be natural.
Natural, that's right.
Does it take work for you to have a kind word?
Yes.
Or do you explain why you ought not have one? Hey. What is your nature? What nature do you have?
Yeah.
What nature are you supposed to have?
Yes.
You allow the Holy Ghost to work in you. He says that we might be partakers of the divine nature because, and I hope I can find it as I start reading in this book tonight, and I'm almost running out of time. Because watch when he explains it better than me. You can't escape the world by asceticism, Paul writes in Colossians, and he warns the saint in Colossae. He says to them, he says, watch out for people who tell you to handle not, touch not. You know, he says those become laws in themselves.
Yes,
true.
Don't we do it?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Don't do this. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. When I first came to this church, they didn't watch movies. I don't mean didn't go to movies. Most of them still don't go to movies. They didn't watch movies, at least. And let people know they watched movies. But you know, when you listen to people enough, see, I listen. I hear you when you get up and talk about worldly music, you don't listen to it, but every time you come up, you're always referencing some song by Ray Charles or by this person or that, the other. Yeah. How do you know what they said? You told me you didn't listen to that music.
Yeah.
How can you just grab it out of the air so easily?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's a worldly song, but it sure is right.
How do you know it?
You know, where'd you get it from?
Yeah.
Because you said, you know. But the world system, two things that are all around us. We live on the world, which is the planet Earth. But the world system and the world, which is the people of Earth who are not in God. The world is the world system, finance, education, science, and all those. They in themselves are part of a world system, and since they're a world system, we need them. You have to have money, but since they're not from heaven, but they're from earth, they can corrupt you.
Yes, yes.
Because what comes from heaven is good, and it is
perfect.
Yes. And since education, I need it. I have a degree, 3 of them. But it is a earthly system nonetheless.
Yes.
So, well, you know, God don't have anything wrong with you having a degree. He sure does. As a matter of fact, you need to learn how to read and write so you can read the Bible and explain it to all those things. But it is an earthly system. When I am made perfect, when I am changed from mortal to immortal, I won't need an education. I won't need a degree.
No.
I need money now.
Yes.
I won't need money in eternity.
Thank you.
I won't need government. I do say we need government now. We absolutely do, because sin is in the earth, and these men won't have consciences and hear God.
Yeah.
Your conscience tells you what is right and wrong before God. The faculties of conscience, when it is working right, having been corrupted by sin, one of the first things God has to do when He saves me is He has to, as it says in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, He has to purge my conscience from dead works.
Yeah.
In other words, He has to clean that up so I know what is right and what is not right before I can even serve the living God. So then, when He says in this, have been partakers of the divine nature, having done what? Escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, Elder Smith, that's a big one. Because I've heard so many people preach about the world and talk about, you know, hey, the world's full of lust. I haven't escaped the world of lust. No, what it says is, it's by being in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world that is in it. Why? Because of your desires. Every man is tempted when he is
drawn away with his own desires and lust that entices.
Yes. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin after it's finished brings forth death. That's what James says. How do I escape the world? Do I go up on the mountainside like a monk?
No.
And do I keep preaching hell not touch not? Don't go down there. That's the world. Don't go down there. The world is everywhere. How do I escape it? By having this divine nature.
All right.
So that I am in the world, but I am not
of the world.
So that I know how to spend money, but it won't turn me from God.
Yes.
It won't. Money ain't turning me from God either. It's influencing your decisions.
Yes.
It's making you do things that are ungodly.
Yes.
It doesn't let you do judgment and justice because you have to consider what's in it for me.
Yeah.
How am I, you know, you have your own goals and you label them under the name of God. How many of us do that? We claim everything we do in the name of God, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
There is a way that seemeth right to a man, the end of which is the way of death.
Yeah.
And we claim everything. Oh, that's God. I can see God in this. I can see God in that. Whenever, whatever it is, be it money, education, your politics. Politics is really ruining some people these days. Their politics.
Yeah.
Be it science, you know, however that is, and what you want them to do. Whatever it is, legal system, finances, whatever. Whenever it's something that rides in and God says do this or do that, and you have to consider how much is it going to cost me, since the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? And it gets to a point where everything you do, you see a dollar sign in front of it to decide a go, no go. I'm not saying you go out and spend every dime you got, don't have anything, and you just, you know, don't plan anything, don't be a part of anything. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying to you is, you see, that's the whole point of the world. You have to decide yourself how it affects you and how it affects you in God. Because at any given time, when the Lord, you know, when it is the Lord, it has to weigh in on you. You can miss the spirit. You can start saying, hey, I'm raising money for God. And after a while, it becomes an issue of just saying just how much money you can raise.
Yes.
And it's not about how much God needed, according to you. It's how much you can do. It's you know, you get to a point after a while where it's just the honor of being a bishop.
Yeah.
It's the honor of being an elder.
Yeah.
It's the position.
Yeah.
And you're just thanking God. You'll even use the scripture with it. I thank God because he found me faithful, put me in the ministry.
Yeah.
And he did. But now it's not an issue of your being grateful to God because he found you faithful, putting you in the ministry. Now you have this esteem that's going on.
Oh, yeah, pride of life.
So that you want everybody to see that I am a minister.
Yeah.
It's on my
credential.
Answering machine.
Yeah.
It's on my cards.
Yeah.
It's on my callback. It's on my screen. It's on my keys. It's on my license tag. It's in my window. It's everywhere you look. Before you see my name, it says Bishop so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so. You don't know my name without that title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Well, you know, you have to look at yourself and see why you want it everywhere. I'm Pastor so-and-so. Really? Then you deserve to have the question that everybody asks me. How many members do you have? Every time you introduce yourself as pastor so-and-so, somebody asks you, how many members do you have? If you want to go that route, that's what they need to ask you. I'm Bishop so-and-so. Well, how many churches have you established? That needs to be the next thing out of their mouth. Because you have proclaimed all this.
Yes.
He says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now let me look at some... And as I was reading chapter 4, this is what it was. I was looking at it, and his point being the corruption that is in the world.
Watch of it.
The corruption that is in the world. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world. And how does this corruption in the world come to corrupt me? My desires.
Yes.
How does this corrupt me? My money, my relationships, my whatever it is. How? They're in the world. But how does it come to corrupt me? It's like saying there's poison in the world. There's cyanide in the world. So how do you get poisoned? How did you happen to come upon it so that you're poisoned by it?
Yes.
It's always been there.
Yeah.
But how does it end up in your system?
Yes.
So that it is to the point of killing you. How does it get to a point? And then there's medicine. I like that one. That's a good one. Yeah. Opium. Yes. Say, well, God created. He sure did.
Yes.
Because after the Garden of Eden, humans became people that could be hurt and wounded and pained.
Yeah.
And God gave man the knowledge to know that, hey, some plants and things, herbs and things would dull the pain and would do this and do whatever. And these days, we don't believe in having a lot of pain. I'm one of them, too. Mm-hmm. You get a bad enough toothache, and I'll be reaching for, you know, a whole bottle of aspirin, Tylenol, and anything else I can get. Because we're human.
Yeah.
But I must not take so many pills that I kill myself.
Yes.
I have to know that there's, yes, it is of the world. I'd rather be healed by the gift of healing and by the Holy Ghost. That would be better.
Yes.
But I don't want to take so many pills that I kill myself. You have some ailment where you're like Elder Smith, where you have breast cancer, and you would rather have the Lord heal you But when they explain to you that you must do something about it, then you use medical, which is a world system, an earthly system. But in it, they also tell you all the dangers.
Yes.
Because it can't give life.
Yes.
It can only stop you from
dying.
At the moment.
Yes.
But it can't give life like the Holy Ghost or like the healer from God. Can't give that.
Yes.
And so if they give you, they're going to give you chemo. And they're going to give you enough chemo to heal you. But too much chemo will kill you.
That's right.
They're going to give you radiation.
Yeah.
And it affects the body so much, the radiation does, that even now, Ella Smith, in the first breast that she had cancer in, even now they don't like to do biopsies or samples of things because it leaves the tissue in those areas irreparably damaged.
Yes.
You know, the cancer's gone. So it is with all the earth system. I need a good education. But I have to be careful that my education doesn't get me to be so far out until now it takes the place of my being in God. I need a good job, but I must always know that even though I have a good job, in Him I live, in Him I move, and in Him I have my being.
Yes.
My job will go on. If I have a heart attack, die, don't show up tomorrow morning, the company's going to roll on.
Yeah,
so a long time ago when I was in the Air Force, I loved it. His name was Chief Raffleson. He said to me, no, it was Norwood. He said to me, we were taking some time off because we worked hard. He said, y'all need to take some days off and take some time off. And somebody said, well, you know, I don't want to have to back up to the window when I get my paycheck. And Norwood looked at him and said, hey, look, man, you don't get a whole lot of time off, and you better take it when you get it, because one thing I know, this company always gets even.
Yes.
That's the way of the earth. And every time I could take a day, believe me, I took it. I never had leave. I never lost leave. Took every hour I could get. And didn't worry about that. Well, did you ever feel like you didn't deserve your paycheck? Are you crazy? I deserve two.
Yeah.
So, well, some days you didn't work. That's okay. I did what I was paid to do.
Yes.
That's the way of the system. But it never got to a point where it took over. Let me go to religion. The Jews, when they came out of Egypt, were told to always have the Passover. Remember Passover? Every year they were supposed to have a Passover, which replicated their putting the blood above the doorpost and the Passover, and when they came out of Egypt, they would always know that. It was a holy and a sanctified thing, which also represented the body that was, you know, the unleavened bread, the body that was broken for them in Christ, and also represented the blood that was shed in Christ. But by the time we get to the time of Christ, some thousand years later, it's no longer a feast of the Lord. It's the Jews' feast.
Yes.
And they decided when to come, what to do, yes, how to wash, what to wear, what to bring. They've done that.
Yeah.
And they've made it be a part of what you needed to do in God. But it didn't come from God. And long after they had backslidden and stopped being godly, they were carrying on the feast.
Yep.
Because what's done in the earth can reproduce itself.
Yes.
But it cannot give life. Yes. And it cannot make you godly.
Yes.
You can carry on church forever.
Mm-hmm.
You might be in a church that's 400 or 500 years old. It can keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
You keep getting pastors and you keep doing whatever. But you can't save anybody in it. If anybody's saved in it, that has to be done by God.
Yes.
A man told me one time, Sean had a friend one time, we told him, we'd gone to a meeting, and we had had service about 5 hours. And we were just feeling so good about ourselves. God, we done had service 5 hours. My God, we must really be something. We the churchiest people in the world. Matter of fact, we said that. Mm-hmm. And the person said something to Chandra that I will never forget. Just, you know how you take a pen, you have a... It doesn't matter how big your balloon is, a small pen will pop it. He said to Chandra, and how many people got saved?
How many miracles?
How many miracles did you see? And the answer was none. And he said, you were in church for 5 hours and there was not a single miracle. And we're just going on about how we danced, how we prophesied, We just done all these things.
Yeah.
No fire fell.
No fire.
No fire fell.
Yes.
And that's when I started to say, you know what? Well, and believe it or not, I didn't say God, I didn't say Jesus, and I didn't say the Holy Ghost. But religion in itself is of the world.
Yes.
Say, well, no, no, Smith, you way off now. Religion ain't of the world. Is it Buddhism a religion?
Yes.
It's not Muslim. It's not the Muslim. It's not Islam a religion?
Yes.
Shintoism, Taoism,
yes.
Taoism,
yes.
Mormonism.
Yes.
Aren't those religions?
Yes.
It's not atheism a religion.
Yes.
Anything you believe with your whole heart becomes a
religion.
Now, the thought of believing things with your own heart, the origin of it, the first religion was to God, and the idea being that I'm supposed to be giving my whole heart to God,
yeah.
And there would only be one religion.
Yeah, one religion. Okay.
But not only has there become a multiple of religions because of people who don't believe in Christ, but in Christ itself, there's a splinter. There are those who believe in Jesus Christ and God the Father, the same person. There are those that believe in Mormonism and Joseph Smith and all them. There are those who believe in, like the people who knock on your door on Saturday morning, Jehovah's Witnesses, who believe there's no hell and that the meek are going to inherit the earth. And the list is long.
Yes.
And the devil loves it because, since it's a world system, he has gotten into it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of it bringing clarity, it brings confusion.
Yes.
And we know who the author of that is.
Oh, yeah.
It is not God.
Yeah.
So then you say, well, religion's got to be of God. It can't. It is a world system nonetheless, because if it was of all of God, there could be no confusion in it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God would keep it pure.
Yes.
The wisdom that comes from above is, first of all, as James says, pure.
Yes.
That's the first thing. When I listen to people preach, first thing I'm listening to is their purity. The next thing I listen to is see if they're kind and they're gentle.
Yes.
And if you're not kind, you're not gentle, your words might be right, but I know there's something. It's like in a computer where you have a program that's corrupted.
Yes.
It'll do some things.
Yes.
And some of the things will come out right, but some things won't work because you have something going on in there that makes it not work like it's supposed to. Let's see where I am. I'm going to try and bring up some pages on this. I got Chandra's here tonight, so I'm like, all right, but I'll see if I can share screen on this. Share screen and start broadcast, and we'll see what comes up. Oh, not yet. Let me go back and work something out here.
You have to give it a second.
I do?
Yeah.
But don't I have to have my book up before I start broadcast? See, that's what I'm saying. I gotta go back and get my book.
Go do it real fast.
Back to Zoom. How do I get out of it? All right. Hold on a minute. Let me get my Bible up. Wrong book. Let me get my... There you go. Now I got my Watchman here.
Okay.
All right. Now, let me go back to this. And do share screen. Screen. And then start broadcast. See what comes up this time. Start broadcast. All righty. We might get it this time. Still don't have it. Okay.
Is it working?
On that one.
Look at this.
Okay. Yay! I made it. Move that out of the way. All right. I want to look up what I have in green. I think I did some of this last week, but anyway, we'll see where we are. In his first epistle, John writes at the top, all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life. We talked about that. Everything that stares pride in us. Was that easy to read? Hooray. Okay. Everything that stares pride in us is of the world. Everything that stares pride in us is of the world. That does not mean that you will fall victim to it and become a sinner, but if it gives you the mind to have pride in it. It is not of God. It is of the world.
Yes.
He says it is preeminence, wealth, achievement, the world acclaim. Men are justly proud of success. And he goes on. Every success, I think we read this last week. Whenever we sense complacency, no, that's not the one. Whenever we meet success, we have in some degree touched the world. I want to keep going down to where I am this week. So I talked about this last week. Let's see what I've got here. I have to look at my book because when I do this. Yeah. All right. The problem is on my iPad, the pages on my iPad are not in sync with the pages in the book, so I have to look for them. I probably need next time list down which ones we're talking about. Okay. Every glory, I see that what that is not glory to God is vainglory. It is amazing what a paltry successes can produce vainglory. Whenever we meet pride, we meet the world, and there is an immediate leakage in our fellowship with God.
Wow.
I like that line. Whenever we meet pride, he says in this, we meet the world, and there is an immediate leakage in our fellowship with God. Oh, that God would open our eyes to see clearly what the world is. Not only evil things, but all those things that draw us ever so gently away from God. Our units that units of that system that is antagonistic to him. Satisfaction in an achievement of some legitimate piece of work has the power to come instantly between us and God himself. For if it is the pride of life and not the praise of God that awakens in us, we can know for certain that we have touched the world. There is thus a constant need for us to watch and pray if we are to maintain our communion with God unsullied. What's the next little place I want to go here? What then is the way of escape from this snare? I'll read this part. Then I might be here for tonight. Which the devil has set to catch God's people. First, let me say emphatically, it is not to be found by our running away.
That right, yeah.
Many think we can escape the world by seeking to abstain from the things of the world. That is folly.
Mm-hmm.
How could we ever escape the world system by using what, after all, a little more than worldly methods? Let us remind you of Jesus' words. John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he had the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a friend of Republicans and sinners. Some think that John the Baptist here offers us a recipe for escape the world, but neither eating nor drinking is Christianity. It's not Christianity. Christ came both eating and drinking, and that is Christianity. I'm going to go down to the next one. Our deliverance from the world begins not with our giving up this or that, but with our seeing as with God's eyes that it is the world under sentence of death, as in the figure with which we open this chapter. One of the reasons why I want to say this right now is, one of the reasons why it's difficult for people to see what is of the world and what is not is because you love it.
Yeah.
And you tend to justify anything you love.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I might stop there tonight because I'm going to pick it up because I want to get clearer in what I'm putting on the screen so I don't take so much time. Let me say this. Even the day I was talking to Ella Sue a couple of weeks ago, and she said to me, Mr. Smith, we got to start working on getting people back in the sanctuary, getting them back in the church because people during this COVID have just gotten to the point where they don't really want to go to church anymore.
Right.
And in their minds, they're not giving up on being in God. They just don't want to come in the sanctuary or be in that. the world is pulling.
Yes.
God doesn't, the devil doesn't care what he gets a hold to, as long as he gets a hold of something in you.
Yes.
And what he does is he sits and convinces you. He convinces you how you're all right in God even when you're not. And he convinces you that what you're doing is not the world. There are some people in places and positions that if I was to say to them, you've changed over the years, and the world has caused you to change, they would start rebuking up and down that I was the devil and telling me to get the hints and this and that and the other. Then they get up in front of their audience and declare that the devil has been trying to tell them they've changed. And the reality is when you're looking at everything from the standpoint of God, you start to see what is of the world and what is not.
Yes.
No matter who's doing it and how it's influencing them.
Yes.
You can tell, because what happens is as long as God is giving life, things grow.
Yes.
And when God stops giving them life, they stop growing.
Right.
It doesn't mean they stop, you know, in the earth they might continue to some degree, but they stop producing life.
Yes.
Like they keep on... we read the first chapter. They keep on doing what they're doing in there, but they're no longer producing
life
they used to. And the people, it's like the Jews carrying on the temple worship and everything. You're still carrying on the service and the worship, but you're not producing life. And if the Romans hadn't come and tore the temple down, they probably would have done that forever. Let me see if there's another blurb on here I want to get before I leave. Let's see if I can find this one line. Our deliverance from the world. Oh, there it is. Our deliverance from the world begins not with us giving up this or that, but with our seeing as with God's eyes that it is a world under sentence of death, as in the figure with which we open this chapter. Fallen is Babylon the Great. Down to this verse. There is no way of salvation, being saved from the world, that does not start with such a revelation. We need only to try to escape the world by running away from it to discover how much we love it and how much it loves us. We may flee where we will avoid it, but it will assuredly track us down. But we inevitably lose all interest in the world, and it loses its grip on us as soon as it dawns upon us that the world is doomed. To see that is to be automatically severed from Satan's entire economy. Last word for tonight. So, Bishop Smith, what does that mean? You got to get to it sooner or later to say that it doesn't matter who they're elected or who gets in the White House or wherever, it's not God, and eventually it's going to be done away with.
Oh, yes. Thank God.
You have to have the mindset that no matter how much money you can accumulate, Paul says you brought nothing into this world, and the certain you shall take nothing out.
Yes.
And it's going to end. You have to have the mindset that no matter how big a company you built, organization you built, church you built, you're going to go the way of all men.
Yes.
You're going to do one of two things. Either you're going to die or you're going to be caught up.
Yes.
If you're saved. And when you're gone, it isn't an issue of whether you left a legacy or not. If I'm with the Lord, I won't care.
Yes. That's right. Right.
Because it is in the earth.
Yes.
So everybody who gets the mindset of, I'm going to have this legacy, so when I leave, I want to leave a legacy, you are attached to the world.
Yes.
That's right.
What you want to leave are godly people who are saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost and carrying on the work.
Yes.
Not your name. Right. It's not your name that you won't remember.
That's right.
It's Christ's name.
Yes.
The fact that you want your name to be remembered, you have touched
the world. Yes.
You need to know and watch Manee's writings. Mm-hmm. He's not the person who published all his writings. His descendants and children did. He never achieved great fame for all he was doing.
Right.
This came about after he was gone. You got to have the mindset and the Lord, and this goes the other way. I'm closing my Bible, so I'll stop. It's also that mindset that stops you from being concerned about what people say about you when you're really in the Lord. Because you know that heaven knows the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
And you stop being so vigorous to defend yourself. I watch saved people work so hard at always defending themselves, be it something small or something great. They immediately rush to their own defense.
Yeah.
There are many things you can say or do, but when you know that you are not of this world, anytime that you're attacked by the world, you know it is the world. Because anything that is not true, implied, implicit, or absolute is not of God. Because from God comes every perfect and every good gift. So God never speaks anything that's not true. So even if you misunderstood, you put it out there and it's not true, it didn't come from God. Because the Holy Ghost never misunderstands. The Holy Ghost never
misunderstands.
So then he also cautions us when we're not clear. And he says to us, maybe you need to think about that. That might not be what that really is.
Yeah.
And when you insist on you are the sort of person that everything is like that, you have touched the world. Yeah. Not only have you touched it, but you're part of it.
Yeah. Yes.
In that instance.
Yes.
It is something that we have to get sensitive to. Spend some time in James. Finish this chapter up, and I'm going to probably try. Next week I won't be here on Tuesday night. Well, I might. I might be on Zoom next Tuesday night. Matter of fact, I'll plan on it. And we'll finish this chapter up because I really want to get to the next chapter. And there's a chapter, not so much the next chapter, but the chapter after that that talks about walking in the light. That's where I really want to spend the time. Because this chapter tells us what we need to be separate from. I want the chapter that tells us what we need to do. If you're going to tell me there's something about me that's not completely right, then you need to at least say to me what I need to do to get it right. It's not fair for you to tell me what's wrong with me.
Yes. You know how to fix it.
If you're not going to tell me how to fix it or send me to someone who can.
Yes. Right, yes.
Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your great grace. Lord, we thank you for your love and kindness. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for the testimony of Sister Ford. Thank you for the testimony of all those, Lord, that you have touched and have made whole. And Lord, we give you glory and we give you honor because we know of your healing power, of your delivering power, O God. And we say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, for every one of us today that you have forgiven for any reason, every one of us that you have washed, every one of us whose conscience you have settled, everyone whose mind you've kept, every person, Lord, that you've set at liberty from some burden, some trouble, or whatever it was a good gift and a perfect gift that came from above. And Lord, for every word of encouragement and all that you have done, Lord, we glorify your name. And Lord, we ask you to evermore, Lord, wash us and cleanse us. For Lord, we belong to you. Lord, we are in the earth, but Lord, we are not of the earth. Lord, we belong to you. Lord, when you saved us, you gave us a new citizenship, a new nature. We became a new person, a new creature. And Lord, while we dwell here on earth, Lord, we are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Yes. And Lord, we look for a better country. Lord, that is a heaven. And Lord, we lean and depend upon you. Lord, I pray, Lord, keep us from the corruption that is in the world, O God, through the divine and precious gifts that we have received through Jesus Christ. Lord, lead us and guide us in the Word of God. And Lord, give us revelation in the Word of God. We thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. And we give you glory and give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
One line I didn't read in Washington tonight, but I did read it. He made a point in saying there is a big difference between knowledge and revelation.
Yes.
In order to be in God, it is not just the knowledge of the Word of God, but it is the revelation of God.
God. Yes.
If you never receive the spiritual revelation of God, you leave yourself open to be led to Jonestown.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. Mm.
The only thing you have is the knowledge of God. Without the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you leave yourself open. This is how cults leave people where they are.
Yeah.
They fill them with knowledge.
Yeah.
And education is of the
world.
Doesn't matter what the education is in.
Yeah.
You need the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Thank
God for everybody tonight. How do I get out of here? Let me see if I can stop this and go back to normal here.
You did.